Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our shiur. Today's discussion is something which is relevant often, and relevant in particular in the at least for the next coming week. Still relevant, that is. It has been relevant for some time, and that is the earliest time a person could put on tallis and tefillin. And what do you do if you're davening at a minyan that has to daven prior to that time? This is in different parts of the country. This comes up at different times of the year. Here, in particular, in South Florida, it's relevant usually around the time of Sukkot and thereafter until the clock has changed. And while we are familiar with the basic halachas, but I felt that it would be worthwhile to just review them so that we have a working understanding. It's important always to have a working understanding of what the underlying issues are. And as I say, it's still really relevant to this week. A week from last night, the clock is being changed, and you know, then already the zmanim, it won't be such an issue, but it is still an issue these days. Now, the connection to the parasha, if you turn to the sheet on page 2, the very last source, is really the first one that we're going to discuss, and that is the Gemara tells us that Gemara Masechta Sota tells us that we find in the parasha, in Parashas Lech Lecha, that Avraham Avinu, after the successful, after the victory over the four kings, so Avraham was greeted by the king of Sodom, who offered him all of the spoils of war that he could take, and Avraham was entitled to take them for many reasons. He was entitled, halakhically speaking, the spoils of war go to the victor, and so forth, but Avraham refused to take it. Why that is, so the Pasuk says that he didn't want people to say that the king of Sodom is the one who guaranteed his success. In other words, he felt that it should be perceived always that he lives under Hashem's good graces, and not because a specific person helped him out. That's what the Pasuk says. The Rishonim give various explanations of that. But whatever the case may be, the Gemara says, Darash Rava, that we have it here, Bishar Shomer Avraham Avinu Michut Vatzroch Now, that in the Schar and the merit of the fact that Avraham, so Avraham, when he refused to take the spoils of war, he used a very powerful expression. He said, I will not take Michut, I will not take even a string, Vatzroch Now, nor will I take a shoe strap. Says the Gemara, Zoch, because he said this, and this was a big Kiddush Hashem, Zochu Banav Lebeis Mitzvahs. Right? Therefore, his descendants merited that they should be given two specific mitzvahs, Chut Shel Tcheles or Tzua Shel Tfilin. The string of Tcheles, the strings of Tzitzis, and the Ritzuas of Tfilin. Now, you may be wondering that we already had credit given for the mitzvah of Talis in last week's parasha, Parashas Noach, when it says that they covered up Noach, so therefore the children of Shem were given the mitzvah of Talis. So Mefarshim explained that the Talis is because of that, but the strings, or here it says in the Gemara, Chut Shel Tcheles, is because of what Avraham said. But nonetheless, whatever the case may be, the mitzvahs of Tfilin and Talis came because of what Avraham said. So therefore, I think it's appropriate to speak about these mitzvahs and how they apply, especially in these days. Now, in order to properly understand this, no great chidushim, but just want to go over some basic concepts that we have. And because we have certain mitzvahs that come up when you daven at an early minyan, for specifically Talis, Tfilin, Kriyashma, and Tefillah, that are all time-related mitzvahs. They all have to be done in the daytime, as we'll soon see. However, each one of them is driven by a different criteria. So therefore, it's interesting what's considered day and what's considered night as it pertains to each one of these mitzvahs, which we will soon see. But what needs to be understood first and foremost, the Mishnah Maseches Megillah at the end of the second parak tells us, not on the sheet, the Mishnah tells us that really the halachic day begins at Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is what we call dawn. Okay, daybreak, dawn is Alos HaShachar. When is that? So in the Gemara it's mentioned, and this is what's generally accepted, that the Alos HaShachar is 72 minutes prior to the sunrise. Okay, 72 minutes prior is Alos HaShachar, and the Mishnah tells us that for that, once you have crossed that line, it is day for all mitzvahs, and therefore you could blow the shofar at that time and read the Megillah on Purim and so forth. However, the rabbis came along and said that a person should not generally do that out of the concern that there could be confusion as to when that time is. So therefore, generally speaking, those mitzvahs, let's say Tekiah Shofar, Kriyas HaMegillah and so forth, were postponed till after the sunrise. But if a person needed to, if a person was going to work and had to daven, let's say on Purim at an early minyan, and, you know, could not hear the Megillah after the sunrise, so if you heard the Megillah from Halos HaShachar, you'd already be Yotzei. You'd already be Yotzei, because officially that is the beginning of the day. Okay, now that being said, so it would seem, therefore, that all mitzvahs that pertain to the day should be, okay, once you hit the Halos HaShachar, which is 72 minutes before the sunrise, which, you know, that would be now at this time. I'm sorry, I don't have the official times in front of me, but I believe it would be slightly before 6 o'clock. Would be the Halos HaShachar, and that would be already time that you could be yotzei the various mitzvahs. However, that is not the case, and we'll go one by one through them and see what is involved here. Okay, so we'll start with the mitzvah of talis. Now, the mitzvah of talis, to put on a talis with tzitzis, is something that we do every day. And the timing for this mitzvah is governed by a different pasuk in the Torah. It's not strictly governed by whether it's officially the daytime, per se, but rather the pasuk says, we've just read it in Kriya Shema, the pasuk says, Ureisem also uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, that you'll see the tzitzis and you'll remember the mitzvos of Hashem. So based on this, we have a machlokas in the Rishonim, a very big argument that takes place between the Rambam on one side and the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam on the other side, and that is, what is the pasuk of Ureisem also telling us? So everybody agrees that what the pasuk is telling us, and we have it here on the sheet on page 1, the top line of the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Yud Ches, Laila lav zman tzitzishu. Nighttime is not the zman of tzitzis. That's for sure. Okay? Tzitzis is considered a mitzvah seisha zman groma. It's considered a time-regulated mitzvah because it's not at night. Okay? Why not? Says the Shulchan Aruch. The imat mir erisim also. Because the pasuk says, erisim also. So the Torah is saying, you'll see them. You can't see at night in the old world before electricity. You couldn't see at night. So therefore, that's it. The Torah says, erisim also. You don't have it. Now, we have here the well-known machlokas, so he continues. Ula harambam kol ma shalovish balayla potter. According to the Rambam, that means that it goes by day versus night, meaning it goes by the time on the clock. If it's daytime, then there is a mitzvah of tzitzis, and if not, there is no mitzvah of tzitzis. That's the way the Rambam interprets it literally, which would mean that according to the Rambam, theoretically, if the nighttime began, let's just make an arbitrary time. If the nighttime, if let's say the Tzeis Chochavim was at 6 p.m., according to the Rambam, you could take off your talis cotton and there would be absolutely nothing wrong because there would be no point in wearing it. What would be the point in wearing it? You're not fulfilling, it's not the time for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only during the day. The mitzvah is not at night. So therefore, much in the same way that if a person took a shofar today and blew it, he wouldn't be a chumrah, you know, I'm going to blow 30 kolos today, right? So what would you accomplish? It's not the time for the mitzvah. So too, according to the Rambam, it's not the time for the mitzvah of tzitzis at night. That's what he holds. Okay. However, that there is a different opinion. On the second line, he says, "Ul harosh," and the Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, says, "Ksus hamiyuchad lelayla poter afilu lov shemayom." The Rosh has a different interpretation, which he feels very strongly is the Mashmos and the Gemara. In Menachos, the Gemara, every time the Gemara talks about the mitzvah of tzitzis, the Gemara talks about ksus yom, ksus laila, and in the Rosh's interpretation, what that means is, it depends on the garment. If the garment is the type that is worn during the day, then it is obligated in tzitzis, even if you wear it at night. Whereas, if the garment is a nighttime garment, then it is absolved from tzitzis, even if you wear it during the day. That's the Rosh's opinion. So again, the Rambam is the simple one. The Rambam says it goes by day and night. If it's day, it's tzitzis. If not, night, not. According to the Rosh, it depends on the nature of the garment. Therefore, according to the Rosh, it would come out that, let's say, a person was wearing pajamas in the daytime. So if he had four-cornered pajamas, which we don't have, but if a person had such a thing, so then the halacha would be, it wouldn't need tzitzis. Even if he stayed in pajamas the whole day, he wouldn't need tzitzis because this is a garment, a night garment. Whereas if a person is wearing a day garment, okay, like let's say a person is wearing a shirt that had four corners or a tunic, which is what they used to wear, which is where the mitzvah of tzitzis was most very relevant. So then, if this type of thing you wear during the day, then you would wear it even at night. You'd be obligated to wear it at night. Okay, the based on Yerushalmi, the poskim say that let's say you have something that people wear both by day and by night. In other words, you could say, well, let's say clothing, you know, it depends. Some people work at night, so their clothes are big day lila. I sleep during the day. I'm up at night. I work through the night. So the Yerushalmi says, is brought by the poskim, that it's, if it's a day and night beged, it's also considered a ksusyom. In other words, the only thing that's absolved from the mitzvah of tzitzis, according to the Rosh, is something that is worn exclusively at night. Therefore, it comes out that, practically speaking, if these two opinions are very, very different, okay, so as we'll see in a second. So therefore, the halacha is the Shulchan Aruch says that we are machmir like both opinions, and we're not machmir, we don't say who's right and who's wrong, and therefore we follow both. Okay, and thus, if a person is wearing, the reason why we don't rip off our tzitzis as soon as it gets dark at night is because of the fact that according to the Rosh, it's still time to wear the tzitzis. Okay, and the fact that even during the daytime, a person, if he had, would wear a talus cotton, even if he was wearing his pajamas, let's say, would be, well, talus cotton, you'll say, is a ksus yom, but let's say a person had four-cornered pajamas, so he should really put tzitzis on that because of the fact that, that according to the Rambam, the daytime is the time for tzitzis. Okay, so there you have it. Those are the two opinions when it comes to tzitzis. And like I say, we are not machriya in this machlokas. We follow both opinions. Yes.
What about somebody wearing like athletic wear?
Yeah.
Which is normally.
Yeah, that's the day. That would be at the very least yom v'layla, but it's probably exclusive yom. Most times people do the activities during the day, so that you would have to wear tzitzis. Now it happens to be this is not a discussion on all the ins and outs of tzitzis. We've spoken about this in the past. It obviously today we're in a different situation altogether because we don't wear four cornered garments. According to the Torah, it's only a four cornered garment that needs tzitzis. So we are machmir that we wear a talus. We go out of our way to put on a four cornered garment because otherwise we wouldn't have this mitzvah at all. So therefore, we put on talus gadol and the various customs at what point in a person's life he puts on a big talus, and the minhag Yisrael, which is a universally accepted minhag Yisrael, which has the force of a halacha, is that we wear also a talus cotton. Okay, but this is the basic issue. But everybody agrees that at the night time, the night per se is not the time for tzitzis. Night per se is not the time for tzitzis. So therefore, even though you'll ask, if you think about it, according to the Rush, so why is tzitzis considered a mitzvah shazman grama? Because after all, you, if you wear a beged yom all the time, so you're always chayav in tzitzis. So it doesn't make a difference, it's day and night. So why is it considered a mitzvah shazman grama? So this is discussed in the Mefarshim, and they say that because since essentially the nighttime, something about the night absolves the mitzvah, so therefore it still could be categorized as a mitzvah shesman grama. But whatever the case may be, this is the way it is with tzitzis. Okay? This is the way it is. So therefore, we don't take off our tzitzis at night. However, if a person was putting on his tzitzis at night, it would be a question whether you say a bracha. Why? Because of the fact that you have now a question. If it's nighttime, according to the Rambam, you don't need to wear tzitzis at all. So therefore, we only say a bracha on tzitzis during the day. Okay? And therefore, it comes up the question that at what point during the, because it's only during the day that you have both opinions satisfied. It's only if you're wearing a daytime garment during the day that you have a chiyuv to, according to all opinions, to wear tzitzis. So at what point during the day do you say that bracha? So the Shulchan Aruch says here in Sif Gimel, it says, Me'emesai mevarech al tzitzis b'shachar, mishiyakar ben chelos shabbat l'lovin shabbat. So this question is a big argument in the Rishonim. What is the starting point for tzitzis? The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the opinion that says that the time for this is a point past dawn. In other words, even though we said at the outset that dawn, the daybreak, is really the beginning of the halachic day, But here, it's not, the halacha is not driven specifically by day, but it's driven by when you can see, because the Torah says orisim also. So therefore, there is a question when that is, and the Shulchan Aruch's psak is, based on the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch's psak is, that is at the point in time that's called Mishayakir, which we've heard this. Mishayakir is the point that you can recognize a person who's an acquaintance at a distance of 4 amos away. The actual expression we find in the Mishnah is Mishayakir ben Tchelus Lelavan, when you can tell the difference between the colors of the tzitzis, the blue and the white. Today, many people don't have Tchelus, so you wouldn't have that ability. So yeah, nevertheless, this is the time that is considered when you could recognize someone 4 amos away. Yes.
So when you're working a swing shift.
Yeah.
So when do you put on your tzitzis?
When
that's night when you start your shift.
Yeah. Oh, so that's a good question. Well, just for the record, I don't want to open up a can of worms. But the question could be discussed that why don't we wear tzitzis when we sleep, right? This would be the chumrah of the year, right? If we said, well, you know, the same way we don't take off our tzitzis at night because of the fact that according to the Rosh, it's still time to do the mitzvah. So then, if you want to be a frumiyid, if a person wants to be meticulous in halacha, you should go to sleep with tzitzis on too. Why? Because you'll say, well, what do you accomplish? You accomplish a lot according to the Rush. According to the Rush, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. You're not according to the Rambam, but you are according to the Rush. So why don't we do that? So this is discussed in the poskim. The Ramaz says the minig is not to do it because of the fact that it would be a bezoyin for it's a shalotein mitzvah's bezoyus alav, would be disrespectful for the tzitzis to wear them when you sleep. That's what the Ramaz says. Not necessarily the most compelling argument, but other people say that the reason you wouldn't do it is because it would create a big question when you wake up in the morning whether you would have to say another bracha. Because just like we have a person who stays up all night Shavuos, so the question is in the morning, can you say a bracha on the tzitzis? So on the one hand, you'll say, well, you shouldn't because it's been continuously worn. On the other hand, there is an opinion that says that every day creates the need for a bracha. So this is a machlokas in the Rishonim. In order to avoid getting involved in this question, so therefore we make a practice of taking off the talus cotton. A person goes to sleep at night, takes off the tzitzis, right? So if you think about it, why should that be? Well, you know, it sounds preposterous to say such a thing. You know, the biggest, you know, frumak, you know, in the world to suggest such a thing. But logically, should be that way. Nevertheless, the minig is amongst the, except for those who follow the Kabbalah, the minig is that the person takes it off. The people who follow Kabbalah, chassidim, oftentimes do wear tzitzis when they go to sleep. Also, mekubalim, whoever they may be, we might do that as well. But the basic idea, the Arizal held that, but the minig of most people is not to do that. Now, what about if you wake up in the morning? That was the question. What happens if you wake up very early in the morning, long before, say you wake up 4 o'clock in the morning? You have to get to work very early. So the halacha is, you could put on your tzitzis then, you should put on your tzitzis then, because even though it's nighttime, but again, that's only absolves you according to the Rambam. But according to the Rush's opinion, there would still be a chiv of tzitzis if you're wearing daytime clothing. So therefore, there would be an inyan to put on the tzitzis at that time. However, a bracha would not be said, because we only say brachas when it's agreed upon by all opinions that this bracha is warranted. We don't say brachas anytime there's a suffix in halacha, and therefore we do not say a bracha in this situation. So now, yeah.
What about the opposite extreme?
Yeah.
You take a nap during the day for 2-3 hours.
Yes, if you take a nap during the day, so in that situation, a person shouldn't take off his tzitzis. So you'll say, but it's so uncomfortable to sleep like that. It's very uncomfortable. So if you really can't, I guess, what could you do? But what a lot of people do is that they put the tzitzis over the blanket. So they cover themselves with the tzitzis, and that also is a question, really, whether that constitutes wearing tzitzis. That's discussed in the next sif in the Shulchan Aruch, which I'm not going to get into, whether a blanket is required to have tzitzis, and the psak of many poskim is that a blanket is, there's a halachic question, we spoke about this when we spoke about shatnas, what is considered wearing something? Is it only wearing it when you actually wear it as a garment, or what happens if you're covered with it? If you cover it, if you put something over you, so is that considered, I'll say, a cape or something like that. Is that considered wearing it? So there is a question. So that would be the best thing to do. If you could sleep with the tzitzis is also good. If you can't do either of those things, so okay, what could you do? We don't have a chiv, you don't really have a chiv be'etzim to wear tzitzis every second because of the fact that we don't have four-cornered garments. So all right, but people, I think, try to do what they can in this area. Okay, now, when is the time? When is the time for the bracha of tzitzis? So we have a machlokas in the Rishon, the Rosh, and the Mordechai, the Rambam and the Mordechai. The Rambam says that it goes by the time that you could recognize your friend, and that is the halacha. That is the way it's paskened in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Mishayakir. All right? Now, but there is another opinion, as I say, the Mordechai, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, also in Psak Halacha, held that you could say the bracha on tzitzis already. The Zman tzitzis begins with Alos HaShachar. That's what he held, because even though you'll say, what do you mean, if it goes by seeing, so you can't see at that time. So he said, yeah, but on the other hand, it's already halachically yom, and yom is a time that you could see, so therefore, that's good enough for Arisim also. In the Gemara, it's not clearly discussed when the time is for tzitzis. So it's not clear what the bottom line is. So therefore, we have these two opinions are reflected here in Sif Gimel. If you look on this sheet, so the Mechaber in Sif Gimel says, "Me'emisayim v'varach al tzitzis b'shachar mishiachar ben chelos shabo uloven shabo." At the time that you could recognize when is the difference between the blue and the white. Okay, now comes the Ramah, and the Ramah says, "Now the Rambam here we have a little following the party lines because." It's an argument in the Rishonim between the Rambam and the Mordechai. The Rambam was a Sephardic rabbi, and the Mordechai was an Ashkenazic rabbi. Okay, so the Ramah, who often brings in the Ashkenazic opinions, says, "V'im lav shomei alos ha-shachar ve'eilech, yesh omrim de'mavarech olav. V'chein no'agin," says the Ramah, that if a person had put on his tzitzis after the alos ha-shachar, but prior to the Mishayakir, then he could say a bracha then. And he says, and that's the custom. And that's the custom. This is an example. Here they are. They're following the opinion of the Mordechai. That's Ashkenazic Psak. The Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch following the Sephardic Psak is very loyal to the Rambam. The Rambam held not like that. But the Ramah says, v'chein no'agin. So now it would come out that if you had, according to this Ramah, if you had to go to an early minyan this time of the year, and it was prior to the time of Mishayakir. So according to the Ramah, you could put on your talus and say a bracha, as long as it's after the Alos HaShach. So you'll say, how come no shul says that? So the answer is, because you look in the Mishnah Brura, on the bottom, in Sif Katan Yud, so the Mishnah Brura says, Ayin Bebir Agrosh, Apostle Kedasa Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, the Mishnah Brura very heavily followed the opinions of the Vilna Gaon. So he says that he said he agrees with the Rambam. Okay, and then he says he quotes from other sources who say that perhaps there's room for leniency. He says Al Kalponim Lachavchila Bevadei Nochal Maod Lahamtin Ulevarich Ad Sheyakir. So says the Mishnah Brura. Then, but since it's not clear. And even what the Ramah said is not universally accepted, even by Ashkenazim. So therefore, the right thing to do is to wait. Okay, now what happens if you can't wait? What happens if you have to daven at a minyan that's going to be finished even before Mishayakir? You go into a very fast minyan, and they're going to be done even before then. So should you say the bracha on the talus then or not? If you're davening, in other words, like this, if you're davening at a minyan that is going to eventually hit the Mishayakir, so the best thing is to wait and then say the bracha after. You can put on the talus right away, but say the bracha after the Mishayakir. After the time of Mishayakir, which we'll discuss in a minute what exactly that time is, but that's if you can. What happens if you can't? So it seems... Huh? I'll get to tefillin in a minute. So we'll start with talus, right? So It would seem, I don't know, it seems from here that in such a case, you could rely, I would imagine you could rely on what the Ramah said. The Ramah said, "V'chein no'agin," right? However, even the Mishnah Brura said that al kol panim, right? You should wait. You should wait if you can, right? But he quoted earlier the Prima Gadim said that if a person was shod the chukalo, so he could put on earlier. Doesn't speak about the bracha specifically. I've seen it quoted, although I didn't see it inside. That Rav Moshe Feinstein held a person should not do that, but I can't tell you with certainty. This is a shaila person can ask their rav. But there's definitely what to say about it. But that's only relevant if you're davening at a minyan that will be finished before the Mishayaka, and we'll see right now that that's not necessarily such a common thing. So we'll see about that. I'm sorry?
About the bracha.
Yeah, this is all discussion about the bracha. Putting on the talus, there's no question. You can put on the talus right away. And you could say the bracha. Now, if you put on the talus right away, when would you say the bracha? So the best time to say it would be between saying at the end of Pesukei Dezimra, after Yishtabach, before the bracha of Yotzer Or. Okay? Before that time. There is discussion what happens if the chazan is not waiting, and the chazan already said the Kaddish before Baruch Hu. So then already they say you should not say the bracha at that time. Then it's too late. So really what's supposed to happen in a shul, I imagine, is a coordinated effort that it's known that the chazan goes on pause for a moment or a couple of moments and give everyone a chance to say the brachas. Okay, but if for some reason you didn't do it, you were lagging behind, and now they started to say Kaddish, it's too late to make the bracha on talus and tefillin as well. And at that point, you should wait till after Shemoneh Esrei. The next time you could talk. The next time you're allowed to speak to be mafsik. Okay, so this is something that comes up. But to put on the talus, you could put on the talus right away. Now, what happens if a person said the bracha on the talus, he wasn't thinking, and just out of the force of habit, he shows up to shul and he says, he puts on his talus and he said, he wasn't thinking, he said the bracha, and then he looks at his watch and he says, oh my gosh, it's not even, not only is it not Mishayakar, it's not even Alos HaShachar. In other words, let's say that it's a very early minyan, it's a 6 o'clock minyan, let's say, which here you don't have so commonly, but in New York you have many minyanim like that, and he says, it's not even Alos HaShachar. And I said the bracha. So is that bracha wasted? Do we say that he has to say another bracha later? So the answer is no. Why? Because Mishabura says this. Because of the fact that since, according to the Rush, you have the chiv to say a bracha, so even though we don't say a bracha until we have the unanimous agreement amongst the poskim, but since there are those poskim that say that this bracha was warranted, according to the Rush, if you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and got dressed for the day, it's pitch black and it's the night according to everybody, you would say the bracha on tzitzis. Because he holds that Ksus Yom is chayiv and tzitzis even at night. So therefore, that opinion is good enough to rely upon that if you, b'dieved, said the bracha, you don't have to repeat it. Because, who says the bracha was no good? There are people that say that bracha was valid. So therefore, we're not warrant saying another bracha. Okay, so this is the way it shakes down with talus. Now, the big question is, when is this time that's called Mishayakir? Okay, it's listed on calendars that, you know, we have the Mishayakir. When is this time? So this is a very big debate amongst Polskim. Right, and the opinion that's brought by many is that Mishayakir is just a few minutes after dawn. It's a few minutes after dawn. Rev Yosef Eliyahu Hankins Atzal, who was considered the Posek Hador in America through the early period of the 1940s, 50s, 60s, till he passed away in the summer of 1973. He was considered the preeminent posek, and his opinion, he felt very strongly that 12 in New York, that 12 minutes after Alos HaShachar was already considered the time of Mishayakir. And in fact, I know that in my yeshiva, in the Chavetz Chaim yeshiva, so they've been sending out for many years a weekly calendar. For decades that they've been sending out, and they have a different box for every day. It's a weekly calendar, and on the box for Sunday they list the earliest times you could daven, and they list the earliest time for talus and tefillin. And Rabbi Avram Ginsburg, who was the longtime administrator of the yeshiva, told me that Rav Henkin called him up and said that when you make your calendar, put in what I said. Okay, he felt so strongly. He was a very, very strong-minded person. and a big tzaddik, but a very strong-minded person, and he said, I'm telling you, this is the right thing to do, that's what you should put in. Now, it happens to be that Reb Henkin lived on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and just a few blocks away lived another Posek Hadoy named Reb Moshe Feinstein, who did not agree with that. And he held that the time for Mishei Yakir was a lot later. He held the time for Mishei Yakir was approximately 35 minutes after dawn, which means that that's a 25-minute swing, approximately. It ranges between 35 and 40 minutes after the dawn. So in his opinion, the time to say a bracha would be later. Okay, now, it's probably true that it varies on where in the world you are. It's not a constant necessarily for every locale that these two opinions, but nevertheless, there was a clear difference of opinion. It happens to be that in New York, I believe Rav Henkin's opinion still is the prevailing opinion out of necessity. A lot of people have to get up early, and the early minyanim there will start very, very early, 6 o'clock in the morning, and a lot of people rely on what Rav Henkin said. But if a person has the ability to be machmir on this, it would be a good idea if you could wait. So therefore, you have to look at the calendars to see, and there are different calendars give different times. It's really the job of the Rav of every shul to determine what zmanim he's going to follow and say, in this shul, this is what we follow. And that's it. And whatever time they say, you could inquire, is this l'kula l'chumra? You know, if I have the ability to go a little bit later, maybe I should wait. If you have to get out to work. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says very clearly in his tshuvas that the need to go to work is considered a shasat chagodol. That's a shasat chagodol. That means, we'll see it comes up in other areas, that if a person needs his job, he's getting, presumably if he doesn't show up on time, he's going to lose his job. So that he says that's a shasat chagodol, and therefore that would warrant being lenient. So, okay, you know, but if, let's say for you it's not a shasat chagodol. Let's say it's just a convenience. I'm an early riser, and I would like to daven at this minyan. So then you really should inquire to find out when the time that they're holding for Mishei Yakir, what time that is, because, as I say, it's not universally agreed upon when that time is. Certainly a person, Rav Henkin's opinion is definitely, could I list most of no question, if a person needed to, a person could rely on that, but the person, it's worthwhile investigating. Yes.
Those are the two times, either 12 minutes or...
Pretty much. There are other calculations. Also, I saw last night, Rabbi Heinemann has a calculation, but they're all pretty much. Most people say more like what Rav Moshe said. The truth is, if you walk outside, you will never understand what Rav Henkin said, right? Because 12 minutes after the Los HaShachar is Mishayakir, it's pitch black, right? But nevertheless, if you look in Poskim, the lot of it is brought to the Bir Alocha later on, it does seem that that's what a lot of people held. So some people held it was even earlier than that, 6 minutes after. So, okay, it's hard to know what governs this. Yeah, yes?
What did the Gros say when you can start doing
it? The Gros' opinion on this, I don't think he has a specific opinion on when Mishei Yakir is, to my knowledge. No, the Gros' opinion that you may be referring to, the Gros' opinion when the day begins, as far as the calculation of, let's say, Zman Kriyashma. But okay, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
How long?
I'm not sure. You know?
No, I think it says so in the Lua that he said 72 minutes.
72 minutes would be for Shachris. We'll see. Okay, let's check it. I'm not familiar with that. It could be. Yeah. Yes.
Doesn't depend on when Alos is considered.
It might depend on that too, but that's pretty much without causing problems. If you look at the calendars, there's a fellow in Muncie who prints out. I think that's the most common one. That's a computer printout that's hanging in many of the shuls in this neighborhood. I've seen it. He has various times halos hashachar. The range is just a few minutes. It's not a big deal. But I think the mainstream opinion is 72 minutes. That's what I believe is the mainstream. Yeah, what's that?
72 minutes, 60 minutes. I've seen different shuls. It could be that.
I don't think that's what it's tolling. I don't think so. But I don't think that's what it depends on. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
How about when you're on an airplane?
Yeah.
And you're going
so you have to be cognizant of what time it is outside and the place that you are. That's what it goes by. It goes by where it's hard to know that. I think now somebody told me there's an app that will tell you. Yeah, they have it all figured out. The people traveling to Eretz Yisrael at every point, what time it is.
You put in the flight number.
Okay.
You put in the time that you leave. You get back an email in about a minute.
Yeah.
You have to go on the ground based on what's on the ground.
Okay, right. So there you go. Okay, see, nowadays we have all these things figured out. Okay, so this is as far as Talos. All right, now we got to make some time here. Okay, the next mitzvah that comes up is the mitzvah of tefillin. Now we said that Alos HaShachar is the beginning of the day. However, that can be overridden. That's the word. They could override that depending on the pasuk in the Torah specifically speaking to a specific mitzvah. So when it comes to Talos, you have the pasuk or Isim also. Now when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin, we have a different issue altogether. And that is, when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin, there is a big argument, argument in the Gemara Maseches Menachos, whether Laila's man tefillin hu olav, whether a tefillin can be worn at night or not. This is an argument that's in the Gemara, and it's an argument in the Poskim, whether tefillin should be worn at night or not. Now, everybody agrees that a person should not put on tefillin at night. But the question is, why not? So according to some, the reason for that is because Laila loves man tefillin. It's not the time to wear tefillin. And that's midoraisa. That would be minatar. It's not the time. However, the accepted opinion amongst the poskim, Shulchan Aruch, holds that Laila is man tefillin. That nighttime is, excuse me, that yes, that the Laila is man tefillin. That nighttime is the time for tefillin. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan made a prohibition about putting on tefillin at night out of the concern that a person would fall asleep wearing the tefillin. That he would fall asleep wearing the tefillin, and therefore a person sleeps who doesn't have full control of all of his body, his faculties, and therefore is concerned of flatulence and things like that, which would be disrespectful to the tefillin. And therefore, the Rabbanan said that a person should not wear tefillin at night, which, by the way, would mean that if you see a person who is at a day, davening shachris, and it falls asleep in the middle of davening, which happens, you know, so you should really wake him up. Because it's usher to sleep, even the Shinas Aroy, it's a halacha. The person cannot sleep even for a few moments with tefillin on. And you know, whatever, you may want to, you know, nowadays I notice that somehow Starbucks is merging with a lot of shuls of people come into davening holding cups of coffee and sometimes even sipping them during the davening, which is a Kiddush and halacha that I don't know where it exactly comes from, but you should be allowed to do that. But nevertheless, you know, if you see someone who is sleeping, you should do something nicely, gently to wake them up. It's an issa to do that. Now, that being the case, so for that reason, tefillin can't be worn at night. That's what we hold. For that reason, tefillin can't be worn at night. Now, if the Rabbanan prohibited something, so we care about it also. It's not just we care about what the Torah said. We care very much about what the Rabbanan, pretty much equally. It's only a difference in a suffix. So now the question comes up. So at what point can you put on tefillin in the morning? Okay, so here too, the time for tefillin is, let's see, we have it here on the sheet in the bottom of the page. So, but here it's a little chopped up, okay, and we don't have the full thing, so you'll have to trust me on this. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Lamed, in the Hilchos Tefillin, the Shulchan Aruch says that the time for tefillin is also the time of Mishayakir, is also the time when you could recognize the person from the distance of Dalet Amos, and the presumption, I assume, is because that's when people would get up. We'll see that when it comes to Kriyat Shema. That's when people would get up, because that's when you could see. In the world before electricity, so you had to get up early in the morning because daylight was a precious commodity that you couldn't afford to waste. Right, today, everyone's a knacker, you know, you go to sleep till who knows when. What's the big deal? If you can't work, you work at night. So you'll stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning working. What's the difference? But until that's because Thomas Edison changed the world. But prior to that, so daytime was a precious commodity. So therefore, a person would get up early in the morning. But you would only get up when you could accomplish something. So therefore, it was considered safe that a person was up for the day when it was the time of Mishayakir. And therefore, we have this halacha when it comes to tefillin. Right? The Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's not on the sheet. Zman hanachosim b'boker mishiyiros chaver, the same time. Now, however, here, since this halacha is governed by the concern of a person wearing tefillin and falling asleep, right? In other words, the issue here is not an issue of is this the time for the mitzvah inherently? Because we hold that Laila is man tefillini. We hold that nighttime is the time for tefillini. Also, you could make her adin be fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin at night. The only thing is that there's a concern that a person may fall asleep. Right? The rabbi said, do not put on your tefillin at night because it's natural that a person sleeps at night. Somewhere along the line, you'll fall asleep, you'll doze off. Even if you're planning on being up all night, you'll doze off. You can't do that with your tefillin on. So now the question is, so if that's what governs the halacha, so now what happens if a person gets up early in the morning and is not going back to sleep? In other words, let's say you have to get up for your job. You have to get up early in the morning. You have to get up to travel. So I'm not going to, that's it, I'm up for the day. If I'm up for the day, so theoretically, the concern of tefillin should be waived. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. I'm not going back to sleep. I'm going to work. So the question is, can you put on the tefillin at that time? So sure enough, we find here that the Shulchan Aruch says, it says Mishnah Berurah, but it's really the Shulchan Aruch, on the very bottom of side one, it says that Hayarotza Lotzis L'derech Bashkoma, that if a person has the need to travel, and in the old days people would wear tefillin the whole day, so therefore putting on tefillin was part of getting dressed. And the person would put on tefillin and head on his way. So the halacha is, says Shulchan Aruch, that menicha, he could put on tefillin immediately. And when the time of Mishayakir comes, so then he'll just move around the tefillin a little bit, he'll just sort of play with them, it's not a big deal, just move them a little bit, and then he'll say the bracha. Really, Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's not such a big issue to be mamashmi. He's supposed to do it, but some people think it's because it should be over lasiyosa, and it's not. Rav Moshe says it's not true. Whatever. But anyway, so he says the leko amecha shema yishin behem. Okay, we're not worried that you're going to fall asleep. Why? Kivan shehishkim v'yotzal aderech. Because since the person got up to he's traveling. Person has to catch a plane. Okay, so he's not going back to sleep. He may sleep on the plane, but he's not going to sleep between now and catching the plane. So says the Shulchan Aruch that at that point you could already put on the tefillin. There's a question with a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah here says right underneath. The Mishnah Berurah says, however, the Shulchan Aruch already said that when the time comes, the time of Mishayakir, that's when you say the bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Now, right. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you should not say the bracha. Right. What we just read, it says that you should put on the tefillin and wait until the time to say the bracha. Now you'll ask, why should that be? If we hold Laila's man tefillin, if nighttime is really appropriate for tefillin, and the whole concern is that I may doze off or fall asleep with the tefillin, but now you're confident that you're not going to fall asleep, so why shouldn't you say a bracha? Why shouldn't you say a bracha? What's the problem? It's by tzitzis, so it's governed by the pasuk arisim also. So nighttime, let's say according to the Rambam, nighttime is not the time. So it's a bracha of atala going to the Rambam, say a bracha on tzitzis at night because it's not the time. But by tefillin is governed by something else. Tefillin is governed by this factor. Are you going to fall asleep or not? So I'm not going to fall asleep. So what are you worried about? So says the Mishnah Berurah, a remarkable thing. In a time that we're not worried he's going to fall asleep. But nevertheless, the rabbis did not feel comfortable that you should say a bracha then, because in the bracha you say, Asher kitshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, and you commanded us. And really, you didn't command us to put on tefillin at this time, because speaking from a global perspective, speaking in general terms, this is not the right time to put on the tefillin. In my case, because I'm out up for the day, so for me it's the time. But from this totality of the Klal Yisrael, it's not the time. So therefore, you can't say Vitzivanu, so therefore you shouldn't say the bracha. Now, what happens in a situation, Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses in the Tshuva, what happens in a situation where a person is not going to be able to wear the tefillin after the time of Mashiachir? In other words, he has such a small window of opportunity that he's going to put on the tefillin, and he's going to have to take them off before the Mashiachir. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that at that time a person could say a bracha. He could say a bracha, and he says additional chiddush that he could say a bracha in that case, even if he puts it on before the alos hashachar. In other words, even if he puts it on before dawn. In other words, if for whatever reason he has to, because again, why? Because since we hold nighttime is the time, and there's no chashash in this case, he's going to fall back asleep. So he's up for the day. So therefore, he says this is only true in the Shas of Chagodol. He's not totally disagreeing with the Mishnah Berurah, but he says that this is the case. At certain times, you could have that a person is whatever. He works in such a job that doesn't give him the opportunity at any point during the day to put on tefillin. In other words, really, if at any point during the day he could put on the tefillin, he should wait. But the fact of the matter is that if he can't, sometimes he can't. So then he said, you could even say a bracha in that case. Yeah, yes.
Let's say a flight is exactly at the time between Mishnayot and
you could really put on the tefillin after. So to say a bracha, you should. I don't know if that would justify. I don't think that would warrant what Ramesh said. In other words, you could put on the tefillin before then. You could put on the tefillin. You can be able to the tefillin, but to be able to tefillin a bracha, a person really should put on later. Even when you land, you could still, it may be after the time for Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, but it's still the time for Tefillin. So you could put on the Tefillin then with a bracha. So that, I don't think as far as Tefillin goes, that's a Shas of Chag. Yeah, yes.
We're talking about having a day and age where we're putting on Tefillin only for a short period of time.
Yes.
So you're putting it on, and if
correct,
you're aware of 20 minutes,
right,
19th minute,
right,
you know, then you could wiggle around your head and make
right
it
off. Right.
We're not talking about a time where they put it on for the whole day, more than.
Well, if a person, Ramoshi is saying?
No, I mean.
Well, yeah, I, the Shulchan Aruch would be even in that case. In other words, if a person wears tefillin all day, so he puts on his tefillin in his house. Puts on tefillin when he gets up in the morning, puts on his tefillin. So the question is, can I put on the tefillin then? Am I allowed to put them on? Forget about the bracha. Am I allowed to put on the tefillin? See, by talus, you don't have the concern, because by talus, it's not an issue of the kedusha of the talus. By tefillin is like a holy item. Tefillin is like has the same status as Sefer Torah, right? So therefore, tefillin, there's the inherent sanctity of tefillin says that you can't wear them at certain times. So that's why by tefillin you have the biggest issue, because if it's nighttime, since the Rabbanim made a gzera that you should not wear tefillin at night, so therefore you need a heter for that. So what the Shulchan Aruch already says is that if you're up, you're up. So, you know, you could do it. But if even if you're up, in the Shulchan Aruch's case, if you could wait, it's better to wait.
This comes in play very much when you're going back and forth to New York.
Yeah.
The guy's going up to New York.
Yeah.
You got a flight where
yeah
you're going to miss.
You're going to miss this manim, but you're not going to. Yeah, so you could put on the tefillin then, but you shouldn't say a bracha. You could put on the tefillin then, but you should not say a bracha. Yeah, yes.
According to Moshe, Shas Lakak, you can put on tefillin when it's dark before Alos and
yes
the bracha before Alos.
Yes. Yes, yes, because of the fact, and that sounds crazy, but when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because it happens to be there's a sheet of Rabbeinu Peretz, he's not just saying it based on this. If you look in the Torah, there's a sheet that we don't hold, that the Rabbeinu Peretz held that you could say a bracha even before.
But if for Maisa, you're going to be able to get to, you're going to be able to later on, either for Zaman,
yeah, right. If you could somehow and you take off the time to put on tefillin, then you probably shouldn't say a bracha. Some people say Kriya Shema. People usually put on tefillin and say something and say the Kriya Shema or say some tefillin or something like that. So technically, you just put on for a second, but the minig is to say something. Yeah.
So in that early flight scenario,
yeah.
So you can put on the tefillin with the bracha if it's absolutely exigent, like you said.
Right.
Or if it's possible,
it's better to just wear the tefillin. You can put on the tefillin. Yep. You can put on the tefillin, which is a chiddush, because even though it's technically before the time, you can put on tefillin that bracha. And then when the time comes, you move the tefillin a drop, and then you say.
Or is it better to push off your davening a little bit later?
If you could, but that's if it'll conform to the zmanim. If it'll conform to the zman kriyashma and the zman tefillin. And the zman tefillin.
If you have to daven, you can daven on the plane, even if it's a convenient tefillin.
If you're comfortable putting on the davening on the plane, putting on
tefillin when you land.
Yeah, so that's a